We've just learned with the kids in Stacks Online that Jesus is always ready to hear our prayers, that he's ready and willing to heal. As we get older, that knowledge can be challenged by things that happen to us in our lives, disappointments, hurts, losses. The times that we're in now challenge all of us in our willingness to believe that God is willing to act on our behalf. We look at our world, at the devastation of the pandemic, or the famine looming in Africa, or the deep wounds of racism. All these things can make us feel isolated, alone, helpless, knowing we need help, but not sure where to turn. In today's story, we meet a man who approaches Jesus for the solution to his problem. He's introduced to us in three of the four Gospels, so this story is clearly an important one, and it gives us a window into Jesus' mission. Let's start with a quick recap. So this man has leprosy, and he comes to Jesus saying that he knows that Jesus is able to heal him, if he's willing. Jesus reaches out and touches him, tells him he is willing. Then he commands him to be clean, and the leprosy leaves. After he's healed, Jesus commands him not to speak about it, but sends him to the priest for confirmation. Many more come for healing and teaching, but even as the crowds gather, he slips away by himself to pray. So come back into this story with me and let's think about the three parties involved, the leper, the crowds, and Jesus. So first, the leper. Now, he didn't necessarily have the condition that we call leprosy now, but that was a blanket term used for any infectious skin disease. And it would have meant social death for this man. Just the diagnosis alone was a quite drawn out, involved affair. If you're interested in the detail, you can read all about it in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. Basically, at the first sign of trouble, the man would have had to go to the priest for a physical examination. Once it was clear he was infectious, which could take up to 2 weeks, he would be pronounced unclean and he would have to go and live in isolation, not allowed to take care of himself, forced to wear rags, to become unclean, and to actively protect others by crying out unclean wherever he went. Talk about shame. Talk about isolation. Talk about loneliness. I'm sure we can relate to this now better than ever, that sense of being cut off, cut adrift from normal human interaction. And what about losing our sense of reality, that sense of time lost or wasted, or even a sense of meaninglessness? Even now, some of us who have less restrictions than before may be out and about, but we're leaving lots of space for each other to pass, edging around each other in the bread aisle at the supermarket. We're all doing that social distance two-step around each other. For some of us who like our personal space and hate hugging anyway, social distance is pretty much ideal. It's a bit of a gift. For others, though, it's really confronting. There are still others for whom this is the ongoing reality of your life, maybe through your life circumstances, illness, or other factors. COVID-19 didn't change anything for you. You can relate all too easily to the isolation, the shame, and the loneliness this man would have felt. Loneliness is the leprosy of modern life, Mother Teresa said. Much harder to spot in lockdown, though. Many will find the new normal just as lonely as before. The leper in this encounter knew that Jesus could heal him, not just of his sickness, but of the shame, the isolation, and the loneliness that came with it. Maybe he'd heard about the healings in Nazareth or at Capernaum, about the demons expelled or the miraculous catch of fish that's just happened in the passage before this one. Whatever the reason, he knew that Jesus had the power to change his life, and he was prepared to find out whether he was willing to use that power to help him. Notice, he doesn't shout unclean. He just throws himself down on the ground at Jesus' feet. Luke's gospel is full of these sorts of encounters, by the way, between the religious elites, the rich and the powerful who didn't accept or recognize Jesus's power, and the people on the edge, the outcasts who did. I encourage you to read the whole gospel to see this side of Jesus' ministry. There's another lockdown reading recommendation for you. Anyway, back to the story. Even before he answers him, Jesus touches the leper, perhaps the first human contact this man has had since the priest who diagnosed him. He tells him that yes, he is willing, and he speaks the words of healing that he needs to hear. Be clean. Then he tells him not to speak about it, but to go back, possibly to the same priest, to confirm that healing. This is not a random instruction. This is in line with the law of Moses. Once the priest has declared him clean, this man would be restored to his community, to his life. But word spread almost immediately. Mark's gospel tells us directly that he didn't obey the first instruction. You can find that in Mark 5, verse 45. Luke just implies it here. But all the same, you can understand why the man couldn't wait to tell. He knew he was clean. He got his life back. Of course he wouldn't told everyone. So what's in this for us? What can we learn from this bit of the story? Well, we can see that the leper recognized that Jesus had the power to heal. He was sure of Jesus's power, but not his intentions. So he took the risk of finding out. Perhaps we lack the boldness of the leper, perhaps even his belief. But here we see God's willingness. We see that Jesus is willing and able to respond to our boldness. We live on the other side of the cross. We know that Jesus is alive. And we know that God's intentions towards us are good, glorious, and life-giving. Believers in Christ know that he has defeated death and evil forever and will return to seal his victory. So we can confidently ask him for what we need. Now let's consider the crowd, the second party in our story. The word is out about the healing and people are hungry for more. Fair enough. If you need healing and there's a healer, you seek him out. Of course you do, even more than toilet roll in a pandemic. But how does Jesus respond? By often withdrawing to lonely places to pray. Some scholars read the Greek as saying that the greater the crowds, the more often he withdrew. These times of solitude and prayer were important to Jesus, and the writers of the gospel thought important for us to know about. Israel was longing for a leader to take them into battle against their Roman oppressors, but Jesus did not encourage the crowds to gather. He was there to announce a greater kingdom, that of God on earth. If you've been with us for the last few weeks in our journey through Luke's gospel, you'll realize that crowds gathered more or less wherever Jesus went in public. Back in his hometown of Capernaum, when Jesus was ready to leave them, the crowds could not persuade him to stay to do more miracles and healings. Instead, he said, "No, it's not what I'm here for. I'm here to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also. That is why I was sent." So what can we learn about these crowds, these drawn to Jesus for more signs and wonders? We can learn that Jesus did heal and teach, and that's what they gathered for, but he also made sure to take time away from them, alone with God when he needed to. They were not in charge of his time or in control of his agenda. Let's turn our focus on Jesus now. His responses might seem a little mysterious, sending away a man he's just healed, slipping away from the crowds that gather. What's all that about? Well, back in Luke 4, at his home synagogue, he looked for and read the following verses from the scroll. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." These are from the book of Isaiah, and they speak about God's chosen, his anointed, his Messiah, and what he would do. And Jesus basically said, in claiming the scripture for himself, "This is who I am and what I am here to do." The signs, the healings and the miracles were only part of this task. Jesus' mission didn't only involve his miracles or even his teaching, though they pointed to who he was and gave authority to his words. Jesus was heading for Jerusalem, to the isolation, the loneliness and the shame of the cross, to execution, death and beyond to resurrection. He was guided by God, not the demands and the fickle feelings of the crowd. He prioritized his time with God, his Father, the one who had sent him. So what can we learn from observing Jesus in this passage? Well, he was willing to heal those who came to him, but made space for time with the Lord. He wasn't driven by the needs of others, but stayed grounded, committed and intentional about protecting and nurturing his time with God, with his Father and ours. I've repeated this a few times already, so you won't be surprised to hear me say that we should be doing this also, if we're believers. Part of what Jesus achieved for humanity in his death and resurrection was to make such a relationship possible, to restore what the first humans had with God in the garden, an intimate, direct relationship with him. If you already know Christ, you know this. You may already have a solid prayer life with God, sharing openly and honestly about your life with the God who made and loves you. If so, be encouraged. Keep going. Pray more, not less. Make time and space for God to stay focused on the mission to continue his work of proclaiming the kingdom of God in our generation. To be willing to help the many who need a touch from God. Go often and alone to be nourished and refreshed by God in prayer. If you're not a believer and you're wondering what on earth I'm on about, find out. Christianity is not about following a set of rules, but about being in relationship with God through Jesus. You can get in touch with us here at St. Alfred's or ask Christians you know. You may even be locked down with a few. Finally, let's think back to our leper, the man who took the opportunity of being near Jesus to reach for the life he longed for. Jesus was willing and able to make him clean and to end his isolation, shame, and loneliness. And he can still do that for anyone who asks him, even now. Amen.